You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham.
We're fighting for everybody here. We're fighting for the middle class, and we're fighting for good jobs in our three states, but for everybody else.
1,900 workers on strike at Fairpoint Communications in Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont are facing company demands for $700 million in concessions and the unlimited ability to outsource their jobs using non-union labor. Diane Winton, president of IBEW Local 2327, says workers recognized the company's need for concessions and offered more than $200 million, but that wasn't enough.
They want to outsource every faction of our jobs, whether it be center jobs or the technicians' jobs. They want to outsource all of it. We saw this coming, you know, over a year ago. So we've been preparing, and the people out on the lines, the spirits are very high. They knew what the bargaining team was up against, and they supported us in all three states wholeheartedly, and they're in it to win it.
1,700 of the striking Fairpoint workers are IBEW. 300 are represented by the Communications Workers of America. Hundreds of current and former FedEx ground workers are suing the company for back overtime pay and to recover paycheck deductions. FedEx Ground claims the workers are independent contractors, not employees. The Ninth Circuit Federal Court of Appeals, though, ruled that these workers in California and Oregon are employees. The Seventh Circuit Court in Chicago is looking at an appeal of an Indiana ruling that sided with FedEx Ground on the workers' status. By claiming their workers are contractors rather than employees, companies can cut as much as 30% from labor costs while dodging Social Security and other payroll taxes and not paying overtime. But these FedEx Ground workers work under tight company rules and have to toe the company line, even as FedEx Ground claims they're not employees. As Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen expresses concerns about the impact of growing income and wealth inequality on the U.S. economy, economists are looking at growing data suggesting that economic growth is being hurt by that inequality. Aggregate demand is what drives economic growth and jobs creation, with more money being saved rather than being spent by the rich and less money in the pockets of working people, that aggregate demand has grown more sluggish. A new report from the Economic Policy Institute says the government could save $7.6 billion on public benefits to workers living in poverty if the minimum wage went up to $10.10 an hour. The report said if the federal minimum wage had kept pace with productivity growth since the 1960s, the last time it was tied to inflation, it would be $18.42 today.
Workers Independent News is brought to you with support from union-owned and represented Bank of Labor, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender. The Bank of Labor is the bank of choice for unions and their members. Now you can do business with a bank that shares labor values. More info online at bankoflabor.com.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it. But he just throws it. Again. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. I only have one thing to say. Get your paper and pencil out. Let me know when you're ready. Go vote. Just saying. The Helmies pass that message on down the road. Stuart Acuff, organizing director for 1199. Stuart, welcome back.
Thank you, Charles. It's great to be with you, as always, on Tuesday afternoon. And let me associate myself with my colleague's remarks. Go vote and tell everybody else to. This is a very, very important election. They all are. I'm not going to tell you again that it's the most important election of our lifetime, but it's very important. And and it's very, very, very close. And for those of us here in Pennsylvania, I know that we've got listeners all over the country, but here in Pennsylvania we have a huge gubernatorial campaign or election coming up, and we have to elect Tom Wolf. But we've got similar kinds of Senate elections and gubernatorial elections all over the America. They're tight as a tick. For those of you who know what a tick is, they're tight as a tick, and the balance of power in the Senate is within the margin of error.
Right.
Essentially, it's dead even.
Right. And Stuart, you know, you say it, I say it. We can't say it enough. There can't be enough people out there saying it enough. We have to get past this apathy. We have to make sure that people clearly understand it. And I'm going to try and say it one more time. Folks, there are people out there that will do anything in their power to stop you from voting. They will lie to you. They will try and cheat you. They will try and keep you standing out in the rain or the sun or whatever. They will do whatever they can, no matter how much it costs, to try and stop you from voting.
Yeah.
And if they're willing to put that much effort forward, why do you think they're doing that? Do you think they're doing it because it's fun? Because no, it's not. There's a lot of people on our side of the fence that are making it difficult for them.
Let me give you a brand new statistic. And I try not to weigh your show down with statistics, Charles, but let me give you this is why. Credit Suisse Bank, which is a Swiss bank, every year does a measure of wealth in the world. And today, it just came out, top 1% in the world own 48% of the world's wealth. 1% owns 48% of the world's wealth. And they want to keep gobbling up more and more and more of this nation's wealth.
If one person owns half of everything, and that's what we're talking about here. If one person or 1% of the population owns half of everything, do you think that for one second that they're your friend or they care about you or they've got your best interest in heart or they're concerned about you or they're going to take care of you or they're going to make sure that you're treated right? Look around you.
No. I mean, you know, the two things that both matter very, very substantively, but also are they're a great barometer of what we're talking about, are the minimum wage and whether or not workers can form unions and bargain collectively. They will tell you the radical right wing, which is getting more and more radical every day, they will tell you, oh, work is so important and it's so, it brings nobility to the worker, and all work is full of nobility. But we want you to work for peanuts. We want you to work at a poverty level. We will not raise the minimum wage. Arguing against raising at this time when 1% of the world's people own 48% of the world's wealth, arguing against raising the minimum wage is foolishness. It's foolishness and it's mean. And the other point is, we're not going to let you have a union. We're going to do everything we can to outlaw unionization and to bust unions and to make it next to impossible for people to form unions. And, you know, those are two examples of what's at stake here and of how serious this gap between the rich and the rest of us are.
Stuart, I agree with you. The trick is we have to snap people back out of this stupor that they're in and
right.
make them realize that they can stop it. They can stop it on November 4th. They can change how things are. They have to go out. They have to vote. And that's all there is to it.
And to your listeners, you know, this is one of Charles's most important jobs. Don't get tired of hearing him say this. I mean, this mouthpiece of working people called this radio show The Union Edge, which is such a great show, it becomes all the more important at this time of the year as we get close to Election Day, because Charles is talking not just to union members, but he's talking to all working people. And folks need to go out and vote their pocketbooks and vote their kids' future.
Absolutely.
That's the real thing for me, is the future of my kids have to look forward to.
Right. And Stuart, I'm just going to leave you with this one before we go into break. If Mitch McConnell was really worried about the war on coal, he wouldn't be trying to kill coal miners. Just saying.
Exactly.
I'm Charles Showalter.
Exactly.
You're listening to the Union Edge Labor Talk Radio.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Coleman Lowndes. Conservative media figures have criticized President Obama's appointment of Ron Klain as the Ebola Response Coordinator, or Czar. Here's Rush Limbaugh.
Ron Klain was in charge of determining who got what in the Porculus bill. Ron Klain does political payoffs. Ron Klain determined which unions got the money and how many shovel-ready jobs and school repairs and road repairs didn't get the money. He's pure 100% politics. He has no experience in any health field.
Fox News and ABC contributor Laura Ingraham criticized Klain's lack of a medical background with guest Raymond Arroyo.
Why are we getting a doctor?
This guy has no medical experience. I've been looking at his record, okay?
Yeah, what
he
is
worked
it?
For Ed, he's an attorney. He worked for Ed Markey. He worked for Daschle, okay?
Oh, God. Then this is a parade of horribles.
However, conservatives were silent when President Bush appointed Stuart Simonson as bird flu czar, a Republican insider who had no medical experience or expertise in public health. For more on this and other stories, please visit MediaMatters.org.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. How do I choose a book? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual. If a book's really impressing me and the writing is really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is, because the endings of books should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org, because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
You must be your fairy godmother.
Cinderella's dream comes true because the glass slipper fits.
It fits.
In our world, the right fit can be just as important, especially when it comes to car seats. Always choose a car seat that's the right fit for your child's age and size to make sure your little pumpkin gets there safely every time.
Hop in, dear. Thank you.
For more information, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. This message has been brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Confusion ever someone or have sudden...
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
It could be one of the 5 signs of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
Sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes.
Suddenly having trouble walking or difficulty with balance.
Or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
Don't wait. Call 911 immediately.
Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Eat less, eat slower, eat smarter, eat your fruits and veggies, stop eating before you're full, up your fiber, lower your calories, get off the bus early, do some gardening, do jumping jacks, take the stairs, take one, not two, take on a new sport, take a long walk home, walk instead of drive, bend, stretch, reach for the stars, climb the monkey bars, skip the fudge bars. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We really appreciate that. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in the Union Edge. On the line with us right now, we've got Stuart Acuff, organizer extraordinaire for $11.99. Stuart, welcome back.
Thank you. great. It's great to be back. Thank you so much,
Stuart.
For
it's
that
always
great compliment,
Stuart. It's always a pleasure. What? We appreciate what you're doing, Stuart. I mean, realistically.
Oh, I have to tell you. I have to tell you some great news.
Good.
Because I've been talking about it on this program for probably 3 or 4 months. The workers, mainly nurses and technical folks at the hospital in Santa Fe, New Mexico, wound up with a union contract with safe staffing standards and with an enforceable measure. Basically, if the hospital does not enforce safe staffing standards, they have to pay into a public charity fund. And I'm very, very, very excited that the contract they were under expired July 31st. And finally, just last week, they came to an agreement on a new contract. And for those who, it's just one hospital in one place, but I've been involved in it since the old contract expired, actually since before the old contract expired. And for those who think that organizing is not related to politics, it was the mayor who forced the hospital company back to the bargaining table and leaned on them to negotiate a fair contract. So bit of good news out there.
That is good news, and and I'm happy to hear that. And I'm sure the rest of the community is happy to hear that, too, because, Stuart, you know, I know that in unionized hospitals, people tend to, as in patients, tend to fare better.
Every study shows it. Every study shows it. In union hospitals, in the words of nurse speak, patient outcomes invariably are better.
And that's because nurses have the ability to get to people and do the things that they're supposed to do to protect people's health and well-being, and that's an awesome thing.
And to advocate for the patient.
Absolutely.
Which is, you know, at the end of the day, this contract was held up because the hospital didn't want to be held to a standard of staffing, of safe staffing levels, so that a nurse could have a chance to, tend to all of his or her patients. And staffing levels are higher. Hands-on patient care is higher in union hospitals, and patients fare better in union hospitals.
And Stuart, if you want to see what happens when a hospital doesn't want to spend the time to properly train their employees and properly practice with the employees and buy the proper medical equipment, just look to Texas.
Yeah.
Just look to Texas.
Yeah.
Because that whole thing was a training issue.
Yep.
That's all it was. It was a training issue.
Yep. And it may have been an equipment issue as well, but it was both a training and probably an equipment issue as well. You cannot cut corners on health care. You can't do it. I mean, and that's, you know, what we witnessed in that situation.
I agree. And, fortunately, the training and dedication of not only those nurses and others in the hospital, but in the other professionals across the spectrum, we've stopped it. No more people are demonstrating that they have the sickness, the illness, and that's because of the dedication and devotion to duty of good union people all across the country.
Right. Absolutely. No question.
Stuart, we got about 3 minutes left. Anything else we should be aware of?
Well, we're having a great convention, 1199, National Union of Healthcare and Hospital Employees. We're having a great convention right now here in Philadelphia. AFSCME President Lee Saunders spoke yesterday. We played a little bit of a film of the history of our president, Henry Nicholas, yesterday. Great speeches. I'm detecting a growing sense of urgency amongst rank and file union members and other workers, both in people that I speak to and see, in the responses to my blog and Facebook. I think people are getting the fact that right-wing Republicans have been they've been playing the shell and pea game. Follow the pea, which shells is under. Follow the pea, which shells it's under. And so while you're following the pea, they're ripping you off and taking more and more of your money. And I think folks are getting onto that. And I'm excited about these elections coming up. And the fact that we're neck and neck in about, somewhere between 6 and 10 Senate elections and gubernatorial elections is very exciting to me. So be excited, folks. This is our country. The democracy that we have and we're trying to save was won at great cost. It's time for us to do our job. And the least thing you can do is get up and vote next month.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Stuart, we appreciate you being with us here today. My goodness, man, it's always exciting. And we'll get you back again next week to talk about some of these
Great.
Issues. And I think looking forward to that.
Great. Thank you so much, Charles. Appreciate you a lot.
Oh, thank you, Stuart. We appreciate you. It was Stuart Acuff of 1199 out of Philadelphia. They're in the midst of their convention, and we appreciate that. Folks, I'm just going to take a little bit of time here. Look, you have got to go out and vote. I'm going to say it. Others will say different things, but I'm going to say that. I don't care who you vote for. I want you to go vote. I want you to take part in the process. I want you to get off your backside and get into a polling booth. Some places you can vote early. Some places you can't. If you don't know, pick up the telephone, call directory assistance, find out the telephone number of your local central labor council. They will tell you. They will help you get to your local polling place. So on and so forth. This is important. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about our communities. Because like Stuart was saying, 1% of the population owns 48% of all of it. 48%. Think about that. 1% owns half. That's okay with you. Sit at home. Don't vote. That's okay with you. Don't tell your friends to vote. That's okay with you. Don't pick up a phone and tell other people to vote. But that's not okay with you. Then you need to get engaged in the game. You need to do what you need to do to go out and vote and encourage other people to go out and vote. And I'm not talking about just your party or their party or anybody else's. I'm talking about everybody. That's what you got to do. Have any questions, get a hold of me, requests@wfrnlive.com. That's requests@wfrnlive.com. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Soon enough, it was up to me to be his housekeeper and financial manager, too. When he moved in, I became his cook and even his nurse. But no matter what roles I play, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the roles you play. So to help, we created aarp.org/caregiving, where you can connect with experts and other caregivers
Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hey. What's up? Thinking about you. XOXOXO. Want to snuggle. Dot, dot, dot. JK. Hit me back. You getting these texts? Question mark. We should hang later. I miss you. Holla at ya, boy. Holla back. Holla back. Holla back. Are you at home? Where are you? What are you doing? OMG. You are making me mad. Are you with your ex? You better text me back. I'm waiting outside your house.
Relentless, aggressive texting is like sending an angry robot to deliver your message. When does the robot become dangerous? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com.
Thatsnotcool.com.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like fish sticks. Filets, I get, but sticks? Maybe we can just compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with Brie?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.